The latest research suggests that fewer South Africans are vaccine hesitant, vaccine cautious, vaccine skeptical than a opinion survey of several months ago found. First, we were told that nearly 50% of South Africans either would absolutely say no to a vaccine or would probably say no to a vaccine. The latest survey, I spoke to the HSRC about it yesterday, said that it's only a third of South Africans. But that's still a lot. You know, I mean, don't think of it in terms of, well, then there's more for us who do want to get vaccinated. Think about it as rather a pool of COVID-19 still circulating amongst a sizable portion of the population. So the more people who want to get vaccinated, who do get vaccinated, the better it is for the future of dealing with COVID. But how do we? And this is something that I have thought about and puzzled about without any clear answers, either from the workings of my own dull brain or from the workings of experts. How do we change behavior at times like this? How do we change the minds of the mask skeptic? How do we change the minds of the vaccine skeptic? Somebody who's been thinking about this is public health specialist Patience Mushameri-Kuzviwanza, who is on the line to us now. Patience, a very good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Hi, John. Afternoon to you and afternoon to your listeners.
Are there clear ways that we should be using that we're not using? Are there not clear ways and we need to try them and see which ones work? How do you feel about what we should be doing?
Well, to start off with, there are clear and unclear ways. So it's a very complicated type of situation, because when you have the rollout of a vaccine, a new vaccine in this case, there is always going to be vaccine hesitancy. People are always going to be afraid of the contents of the vaccine or afraid of the side effects of the vaccine. Coronavirus is an even more difficult situation because this vaccine has come up faster than normal vaccines would come up. But I think there is a way to get people to get people's buy-in, basically, of this vaccine. And the best possible way is to engage them within the process of taking up this vaccine, engage them in the process of protecting their health, and not just bombard them with messages, which are highly scientific sometimes, and also have them not feel like they're being told what to do, but that they're being engaged in a process of trying to find the best possible solution to protect the nation.
Okay, engage them. What does that mean, though, in practice, Patience?
Well, it's in usual practice. We would use the already, for example, already existing organic communication channels that are there within communities. So, for example, using community healthcare workers or using respectable people in the community, such as priests, pastors, teachers, nurses within the community. This is a bit difficult now with the coronavirus situation, with social distancing and whatnot. So a way of engaging could also be within social media, which is where a lot of the talk about this vaccine and whether or not one will take it is happening.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about social media because there is so much misinformation and deliberate disinformation in there. I'm not sure that well-meaning and correct information is not going to get lost in that swamp.
True. That is a definite worry. But at the same time, the thing with trying to communicate something as new as this virus is, again, you need an open dialogue. It needs to be a two-way process. So it can't be a government saying everyone will take the vaccine and this is how it will go. And unfortunately, the situation that we have, a situation where we can create dialogue within communities, social media is a starting point. It is not the only point, though, you are quite correct, because it only takes one person to put off the wrong message in a WhatsApp and it's forwarded 400 times. But it can be used as a mechanism, along with mass media, along with television campaigns, radio campaigns, as they have been doing so far.
Yeah, the issue of trusted people within communities is again, I think, perhaps a more complex one than initially it might seem. You mentioned the clergy, and Yeah, clergies have adherents, they have devotees, but not all of the clergy believe in the vaccine. I refer to our Chief Justice as a prime and very leading example of that. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantee that those community workers are going to have the right information and communicate it in the right way. So it's a much more, I hate the word granular because it's such a sort of buzzword, but it's a more complex undertaking than simply saying, let's hand it over to people who are trusted in the community, because you have to first surely establish that person who's largely trusted in the community has the attitude towards this public health issue that you want to convey.
True. That is very true. And what could also be helpful, so like you gave the examples of clergymen who don't believe in this vaccine, and that's the thing with communities. There are lots of social norms and beliefs that are already within communities, those of values that people have that may be against the vaccine. But what would be good when engaging with these type of community leaders, whether or not they are for the vaccine, is again going to them in a more dialogue-based approach. So we're not going to them to say, we want people to take the vaccine, please convince people to take the vaccine, or you have to convince them to take the vaccine, but go to them and maybe understand from their point of view what is causing this resistance. And once you understand why people are resistant to the vaccine, what concerns people have or fears that they have, then you can come up with a better strategy in order to convince them or to engage with them and find a way for them to move from being very opposed to the vaccine to moving towards being somewhat acceptable of it. So understanding those fears is very important, and those clergymen could give us an insight into that.
And using social media celebrities, you know, public life celebrities, Bonang, for example, and what's the value of that? Is there any evidence that people who follow Bonang because they like the way she lives her life, they like the success that she enjoys, she likes the people, they like the people she mixes with and the bling that she manages to surround herself with and the sense of fun and glamour and all of that, is there any evidence that people like that are trusted when it comes to issues outside of the area of interest which has drawn moths to that particular flame?
So I won't comment on Bonang's bling, but there is a lot of research around that. I mean, we live in a society now where influencers, Instagram influencers, for example, influencers of any sort, have gained popularity. The question is, though, or rather, what we need to be careful with when we are choosing a celebrity is that we choose someone who doesn't have values that might then oppose the general scope of what we're trying to achieve, right? So there is evidence that, yes, people do follow her. And some people who, using Bonang as an example, some people who do follow her and see her taking the vaccine might feel more confident to do it. I think people want to see people that they know or they feel they relate to saying they're willing to take the vaccine, they're confident in the vaccine, and see them taking the vaccine. And that might shift the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Nathan Geffen of GroundUp a couple of weeks ago because this was something that they felt was important to have. Let's use another example. One of the examples that Nathan used was somebody like Sia Kolisi. If Sia Kolisi is televised taking the vaccine, even though, you know, he's way down the list in terms of people who should get it at this stage, but the marketing value, for want of a better phrase, of Sia Kolisi saying, here, this is the vaccine going to my arm, I want it, I believe in it, that outweighs the fact that he's kind of jumping the queue. What would be your view?
Yes, I think so. I think we shouldn't then have 100 celebrities taking the vaccine online for everyone to see, because then we're trying to get them to the frontline workers at the moment. But definitely, he's a very good example, I think, of someone who people trust, someone people believe in, and someone people feel would not misinform them or lead them astray. And so if you had a person like that taking the vaccine on national TV or just encouraging people to do so, yeah, you might have people, some people, not all, but some people feeling a bit less afraid of the vaccine.
Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon, public health specialist Patience Mushamiri Kuzviwanza.